It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, you're going to hear from Jermell Herring, the former 130-pound champion, current broadcaster for Top Rank, as we get into the Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis rumors. Shakur Stevenson just announced the new fight. Teofimo Lopez returns next weekend, and we have a full slate of fights coming up on Showtime Boxing. Let's get into it. Let's talk boxing. Inside Boxing Live coming up next. What is up, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of Inside Boxing Live, brought to you by John Boy Media. I am your host, as always, Dan Canobio. Thank you so much for being with me week in, week out. Last weekend, we took off as I was out in Los Angeles covering the Ryan Garcia-Javier Fortuna fight, being with my John Boy Media family as we're at the All-Star Game, went to the Home Run Derby, met a lot of boxing fans at our meet and greet at the Boomtown Brewery. Shout out to Victor from the 818. You know who you are, Victor. It was a great time out in L.A. Watching Ryan Garcia up close. Great performance from the kid. Pretty much an A-minus performance. The only thing preventing me from giving him an A-plus was that he did get tagged a few times from Fortuna. But he was virtually untouched in this fight. He showed off the speed. He showed off the skill. He showed off the power. The footwork. I thought Ryan Garcia is now, you know, rounding into form. This is now two fights in the last 4 months from him, and we'll see what happens. I mean, the fact that we're in a little bit of a slow period in terms of big fights happening, there's going to be some bigger fights in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, Anthony Joshua and Usyk, which I'll touch on in just a little bit. But right now, there's not a lot of big fights being, you know, talked about. There's not a lot of big fights happening. So a lot of the headlines are being dominated by Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis fight. And that's great because I've been calling for that fight for a really long time. I'm not the only guy in the media or only woman in the media. I'm not a woman, a man or woman in the media calling for a Ryan Garcia Tank Davis fight. I think the time is now. The momentum is there. From what I've heard from Team Garcia is that they are negotiating a fight with Tank Davis. And you know by now what it's going to come down to. Who's going to make the concessions? It should come on Ryan Garcia's side making the concessions, considering that Tank Davis is sells more tickets, considering that he's done pay-per-views and has done decent, considering that he has a better resume, arguably a bigger star. But Ryan Garcia is a star, too. I mean, it was a big attendance came out. I think it was like 12,000 at Staples Center. You know, Sean McVay was there. A lot of the Rams were there. I was there. That's what's most important. But it was a great night catching up with Ryan Garcia afterwards. He pretty much wants a tank fight. I mean, that's what we're going to talk about with Jermell Herring, who was our guest this week on the show, what he thought of that fight. Well, you know, he's been in fighter negotiation meetings. He's been in these negotiations, not as big as a Tank Ryan fight, but he knows the concessions you have to make. He knows what you have to give up and what you're willing to, you know, checks to your ego. That's what basically comes down to, because who's going to blink first? Which side is going to say, you know what, this fight maybe does belong just on Showtime, or is the Ryan Garcia side going to dig in and say this is has to be, DAZN has to be involved in this fight? I think you could do anywhere between 750,000 buys to a million on the high end. And if it does 800 to a million, you know, that's a big number. That's a huge number. We haven't come close to that number in the boxing world since Fury and Wilder. And as we'll talk about with Herring, is like Fury and Wilder were getting crazy guarantees for that fight. You know, Tank and Ryan aren't at that level just yet. So it could make money. So it could be a joint pay-per-view. I think right now both sides are kind of posturing with Showtime saying it has to be on Showtime and DAZN saying that we have to be involved with it. So that's still like the biggest story in the boxing world. We'll talk about it with Jermell Herring. Also, Shakur Stevenson made an announcement that he's going to be fighting in Newark in late September, a Friday night, a homecoming fight, even though it's against a really tough opponent in Robson Conceição. Now, that's three really tough fights in a row for Shakur Stevenson, going from the Herring fight straight into Valdez, straight into Conceição now, you know, throw in some of his past fights with Joette Gonzalez, a Pitbull Diaz when he was still somewhat in his prime. You know, he's 24 years old, Shakur Stevenson, on a rocket ship to the top of the pound-for-pound list. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Jermell Herring speaks very highly of Shakur Stevenson, obviously shared a wing with him last year. So I love that card, too. I'm going to be there at the Newark, in Newark for that one. I love the card because Bruce Carrington's going to be on it. Keyshawn Davis is the co-main event. Top Rank has arguably the best stable in boxing right now, and they do a very good job at highlighting them, and they do a very good job of getting them out in front of boxing fans, like a Bruce Carrington, a Keyshawn Davis, a Richard Torres, Xander Zayas, who's going to fight underneath Teofimo Lopez August 13th, which leads me into Teofimo Lopez coming back August 13th. Did you catch that interview he did with Mark Kriegel on ESPN last weekend? Yikes. I love Teofimo Lopez. If you've been following me, if you've been following this show, Teofimo has been a recurring guest, and I consider him a friend, but he is still not over the loss. He's still not saying the right things or has the right mindset heading into this fight with Pedro Campa. Should he knock out Pedro Campa? Yes. But bigger fights loom for Teofimo Lopez. He is just, I don't know exactly what's going on with him mentally, you know, physically, and I think he has all the skills in the world, but we'll talk more about that with Jermell Herring as well. Some other news and notes. Did you see this? Anthony Joshua and Alexander Usyk, the rematch is happening later next month, August 20th, and everything was signed, sealed, and delivered. We got an undercard with Badu Jack on it and some other intriguing fights. We have a location, obviously somewhere in Saudi Arabia, but the only thing missing was, where is this fight going to land? Is it going to be on DAZN, which just signed this lifetime deal with Anthony Joshua? He left Sky Sports, but a little wrinkle in this deal, there's always wrinkles in these deals, especially with Eddie Hearn, is that he left it to the Saudis to work out their own network deal or rights deal for this fight. So Sky Sports went from being out of the Anthony Joshua business to now acquiring the rights for this rematch. It's going to air on Sky Sports pay-per-view in the UK. There still is no word on where it's going to air here. Is it going to be on part of your regular DAZN package? Is it going to be a DAZN pay-per-view? We're only a few weeks away, and we still are a little murky on how we're going to watch that fight, at least legally. I know that there's people out there who can get a stream of that one. I'm looking forward to that. That's obviously the biggest fight on the upcoming calendar for the summer. That and, of course, the Canelo Triple G, September 17th. Jake Paul, Haseem Rockman Jr. If you're into that, that's next weekend at Madison Square Garden. So that's some of the latest news and notes. Mike Tyson miniseries. If you follow me on Instagram at Dan Canobio or on Twitter, I put together a little reel, a 1 minute, a little video there on what this miniseries is. Mike Tyson, he's been in the headlines forever now. There's been movies about him, documentaries, one man shows, I should say. We know the Mike Tyson story, especially if you're a boxing fan, but there hasn't really been like a series. There hasn't been a movie since 1995, HBO movie, but Hulu now has a Mike Tyson miniseries coming out August 25th, starring Trevante Rhodes as Mike Tyson. He was the lead in Moonlight, which won an Oscar in 2016. It's a good cast. Harvey Keitel plays Customato. Laura Harrier from Black Klansman. She plays Robin Givens. And it's coming from the same producers, same writers, same team that brought you I, Tonya, the Tonya Harding movie. That was awesome. So I think I have hope. I have hope that it's going to be good. I'll be reviewing it every week on the pod starting August 25th. I think it's going to be fun. And an interesting wrinkle for this little mini series with Mike Tyson is that it's not authorized by Mike. He actually condemned the whole thing. He put out a strongly worded statement saying that they do not have my blessing. This is not an accurate portrayal. You know what? As much as I love Mike, that kind of makes me want to watch it more. I mean, we've seen The Last Dance that's a documentary that was done with Michael Jordan. We're seeing it right now on this Derek Jeter doc. He's very much involved with it. So it kind of comes off like a PR type of, you know, a combined documentary where the subject is involved with it. you know, in The Last Dance, they did get into the gambling of Michael Jordan. They did get into his father's murder. They did get into some of the vulnerable parts of Michael Jordan. But who knows if we're going to see that when we see this with Mike Tyson. But apparently, if Mike isn't involved, that means that they are more likely to talk about the downside, you know, the rape charge and some of the drug use and everything that we know from Mike Tyson. And that's coming up August 25th on Hulu. All right, let's get into our picks this week. As you know, if you've been following along on the show, I have a beautiful deal with our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. Turn big league action into big winnings with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any game and get $100 free bets instantly. Plus, all customers can combine multiple bets for a shot to win even a bigger payout with the same game parlays. I'm going to give you my same game parlay for this upcoming fights on Showtime. I have been using the DraftKings Sports app to bet on my beloved Yankees. I was at the Subway Series this week, went to the first game. I put down $20 on Aaron Judge and Alonso to hit a home run in the same game. Judge did his part. Alonso had four hits, none of them home runs. That would have, you know, it was plus 180 odds on that. So they have some really good stuff going on with the Major League Baseball. Obviously, they have their boxing picks as well. I'm going to give you those in just a second. But download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use promo code BOXING. Very easy. BOXING. New customers can make any $5 bet and get $100 in free bets instantly. Promo code BOXING only at DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Minimum age eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. MLB trademarks used with permission. All right, let's get into my picks this week. Biggest card is coming to you over on Showtime. It's a fun card. It doesn't really, you know, nothing really jumps out of you like, oh, this is a super fight or this is like something, you know, we have to see. No real title fights on the card, but it's still promising. Everything obviously headlined with Danny Garcia taking on Jose Benavidez, the brother of David Benavidez. This is at 154, a new weight class for Danny Garcia. Co-main event's going to see Adam Konacki, you remember him, one-time hopeful in the heavyweight division to face Deontay Wilder before two straight losses to Robert Hillianis. He's taking on Ali Aaron Deremezin, who is coming off a win over Gerald Washington. Gary Antoine Russell versus Rancis Bartholomew kicks off the card. Sergey Derevchenko fights on this card. Julian J. Rock Williams, Vito Milnecki. A lot of names. It's a pretty good offering top to bottom. But I'm going to give you my picks, and I'm going to start. This is the same game parlay that you can get on the DraftKings Sportsbook app this weekend. I just narrowly missed it last weekend. I had Lamont Roach winning, and then I had Ryan Garcia stopping Fortuna in rounds 7 through 12. He stopped him in the sixth round, so I was close, getting closer and closer. So let's take a look at it. I'm going to go with Adam Konacki money line, and you can get that at plus 130, and that's one I went back and forth on. You know, Konacki looked awful in those last two fights against Hillianis, stopped twice, just couldn't get out of the way of Robert Hillianis, but I just thought it was a bad matchup stylistically for Konacki. A crossroads fights for him now. He's saying all the right things. You know what? I trained far away from my family for this one. The last two fights for Hillianis, I had family issues. I had sparring issues. I had training issues. He says he's going back to the basics. And for the basics for Konacki, he's throwing a lot of punches. Close to 70 a round. I'm pretty sure it's still number one among all heavyweights. Lands a lot of shots. But maybe he tones that down a little bit and works more on his defense because he does not move his head off the line. And Robert Hillianis was just, it was just boom, picking him off left and right. Now you got Deremezin, who are we going to give him credit for that win over Gerald Washington? Gerald Washington should not have been in a boxing ring, should not be ever, you know, fight again. This guy took a lot of beatings, but Deremezin did look good against Gerald Washington. He is also a come forward fighter. He throws upwards of 65 punches around, which is a lot for this is going to be a back and forth. But the thing with Deremezin that I don't like is he's a little bit of a headhunter and doesn't really have a lot of power. So if Konacki can get out of the way, Konacki can use some defense, says he's going to go back to basics. This is a crossroads fight for him. He's got his son, needs to win to get back into the mix at heavyweight. He sells a lot of tickets. PBC can still salvage his career, get him in there with a bigger name. I think Konecny wins on the money line, whether it's a decision, whether it's a late stoppage. I'm going to go Konecny. The second leg of the parlay, this is the one I went back and forth on. You can get decent value on Danny Garcia going the distance. You know, hasn't had a knockout in a while, hasn't had a fight in a while. I think we're going on 18 months with no fights. But for the distance, you can get that at minus 200. You know, that doesn't really make a fun parlay. To me, it's more fun when we got plus money. And Danny Garcia, by knockout, TKO, or disqualification, you can get that at plus 175 right now. I think it makes it a fun parlay. I think it makes it a little bit risky. But that's why we bet, right? New weight class for Danny Garcia. He's coming in at 154 pounds. Still has power, but we haven't seen the power in a while. He says he wants to be a three-time or three-weight class champion. 140, 147, 154. There are some real savages at 154. I don't know if Danny Garcia can do that. But arguably lost his last fight against that was Benavidez. But as we saw with Danny Garcia, he was coming off of that loss to Errol Spence was a while ago. But I think Garcia can stop Benavidez. Benavidez gets hit a lot. He comes forward. He lays on the ropes a lot. He fights with a lot of pride. He's past it. You know, this guy, talk about a guy in his last fight fought Emmanuel Torres. I thought he lost, was gifted a draw, got hit a lot in that fight against a guy with zero power. I think Danny Garcia should win. So if you want to maybe take the distance, you can get that for minus 200. But I'm going with Danny Garcia for a stoppage, making a statement at 154. You can get that for plus 175. So those are my two picks. Anil Konecny, money line for plus 130. Danny Garcia by stoppage, plus 175. And you can get that on DraftKings same game parlay over on the app. It should be live on Saturday morning. All right, let's get to Jermell Herring and talk all things boxing.
Let's bring in our guest this week. You know him, arguably the most respected fighter in the game, maybe the funniest, maybe the most busy, former world champion, former Marine, always a Marine. I corrected myself there. Jermell Herring is with us this week, and I love it. So let's get into it. Jermell, how's everything going? You're coming to us from Alabama.
Everything's good right now. I'm in Alabama, but I had to get in here with you, man. So.
Always a time to talk about boxing, right?
Yes.
I like to say we're like in like a little bit of like a slow period, considering where we were like April, May, June. But there's still good boxing every single week.
Right.
Last weekend, you were on the call in international feed for ESPN in Hinckley, Minnesota. So Gabe Flores lose again. We saw a really good competitive main event. Yeah. With Isaac Dogbe coming out on top. So even like the slower weekends are still fun. And that's a sign of like, we're having a really good year in boxing.
Right. Correct. Yeah, definitely. Even the weekend before that, when I went to go see Arnold Barbosa fight, that was an interesting matchup as well for, you know, a slow time in boxing, but it's definitely some good competitive matchups that we have seen as of late.
Yeah, the Barboza weekend also was the weekend where we saw Ryan Garcia. And I feel like right now, maybe we do have a slow time, but that does not mean that we aren't going to talk about potential fights that could be made. I feel like the discussion right now for the last 2 weeks is about Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis. It's about the fighters at 130, 135, 140. Those three weight classes, I feel like right now are generating a lot of headlines, generating a lot of what ifs. You watched Ryan Garcia's fight 2 weeks ago when he beat down Javier Fortuna. What did you make of Ryan Garcia's performance?
In terms of the eye test, I thought he passed the test. I thought he passed it. We all know that Fortuna has had his best days, of course, especially maybe at lower weight classes like 130. You understand this fight was at 140. But at times in boxing, some people love to compare fighters against a common opponent. You know, Fortuna's been in there with many good names. Robert Easter Jr., Jojo Diaz as a recent. So I thought the way he closed out the show against Fortuna, he did well.
Do you think it was more like, because I have two ways looking at it. I was there in the arena, and I thought Fortuna would pose a little more of a threat. Like you said, he is a little bit past it. He's been in some really big fights. He's kind of an enigma. Like, he's had fights where he's looked great, where he's had, like, first-round knockouts, second-round stoppage. Right. He's had a fight where he's struggled. He's missed weight. He's had no contest. Like, he you don't know what you're going to get when he steps into the ring. But my main – what I'm trying to get at is did you think it was more like Ryan Garcia was more impressive, or do you think that, man, Fortuna just didn't really put up much of a fight?
I think it had to deal with a little bit of everything. For being honest, it was a little bit of everything. Yeah, it was you clearly see on the rib. It wasn't the old Fortuna, the old Fortuna that we're used to seeing. You know, the real aggressive Fortuna that's like throwing in punches from weird angles at times. Also, like you pointed out, you know, he's had issues with weight. I believe that was an issue with this fight, that he felt like he didn't have enough time to make the 135 limit that was originally, you know, scheduled. So they went up to 140. Ryan was just younger, stronger. And for that weight, he was just too big. He was just too big for him.
Do you think he gets, like, it's a lot of disrespect for Ryan Garcia, in my opinion. There's a lot of things you have to get past in order to appreciate his boxing skills. Yes, the ridiculous social media following. By his own admission, he's a goofball. You know, he's told me himself, like, I'm a goofy guy. Like, that's just what I am. Like, he's from a different generation than you and me. We're about the same age. But if you peel all that back, if you can get past the looks, you can pass some of the cringe moments, you can pass the social media, this is a damn good fighter. This is a guy that's been doing it since 8 years old. Yeah, the kid can fight. Do you think a lot of people look past that? Because I saw a lot of things two Saturdays ago, like, you know, being a little more selective, walking down his opponent, doesn't jab much, but this is a guy that, you know, I think we should be giving a little more credit to.
No, he's dangerous. He definitely has the goods. I think he gets more criticism because he doesn't put, people feel at least he doesn't put as much time into his boxing career as he does for everything else on social media, to the modeling, whatever you want to name it. But I think that's where it mostly mainly comes from, because a lot of people are more frustrated. Can I even see with his own fan base? They're more frustrated because they feel that he should be at this level, but yet he's still, you know, they feel like he's dragging his feet, you know, getting to the real fights that we want to see, like the big fights against the Haneys and the Tanks and so on.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, there is a little bit of, like, you know, impatience, because he was on, like, his trajectory, and then last year was a disaster, or any way you want to look at it. I wouldn't say disaster, it's a little harsh, but, you know, the injury, the mental health, that definitely stopped him, and it left a lot more doubts. But now this is two fights in 4 months. He says he wants to fight again in December. Leads me to my next question. It's the million-dollar question right now in the boxing world. Is the Tank Davis fight, is it next? In your humble opinion,
honestly, I'm leaning towards I don't think so, and I'm going to say, not based off because they don't want to fight to the, I believe honestly where Ryan Garcia is at in terms of the money he's making, you could say like the kid is spoiled, if you want to say that, because they said on paper, you know, his last fight he made $2 million just to fight a Fortuna. When it comes out, you know, me being a fellow fighter as well, when it comes down to negotiations, they're going to argue down who's the A side, who gets what. And I feel like if you're giving Ryan Garcia $2 million to fight a Javier Fortuna, imagine what he's going to want against a world champion in a dangerous world champion in Gervonta Davis. So yeah. I take things like that into consideration. Like, this kid is making more than some world champions are already. Mm-hmm. So imagine what he wants when it's time to really fight for a world title.
Yeah, I mean, you've been in these negotiations. You've been a part of big fights, big negotiations, what it takes to make a fight. And yeah, he is getting $2 million to fight Fortuna. He was barely touched. I talked to him after the fight, and it was about 12,000 in the crowd, which is down from his last fight, which was in Texas. Right. So there's no doubt about it that Tank is the A side. I mean, he has a better resume. He's been on pay-per-view, and we can debate whether the numbers were good or not. They're good or enough for today's standards. And he sells out arenas. There is no doubt about it. You can see that with your eyeballs. You can see 18,000 at Staples. You can see 18,000 at Barclays. You can see 15,000 to 18,000 in Atlanta. There's no doubt about it. It's going to come down. I do agree that it's going to come down to the concessions that Ryan Garcia will make. Whether the zone is involved is a big stumbling block right now. Talking with Steven Espinosa over the last couple of weeks, they're adamant that it has to be on Showtime. Business standpoint, from business state of mind, do you think that this fight, is it big enough to be a split pay-per-view? Is it big enough to have two networks involved, you know, given what we think it could do?
I believe it is. I believe it is because, remember, despite everything that, like, even with the you know, the draw and things like that, Ryan does have a big following even outside of the typical boxing, you know, media world. And like Tank Davis alone, he has a great following himself. And I believe a fight that big, because at the end of the day, it still is a big fight, because mainly people want to see what Ryan Garcia really can do against an elite fighter. And if and they're both undefeated, so that always sells right there. And you know, they both bring knockout power. You know, in boxing, most people, even casuals, they love to see a good scrap and a knockout. So I think it can, you know, if they're reasonable between both sides, you can generate between the split pay-per-view, in my eyes opinion. You know, because like I said, we are in an era where it's not the Floyd and Pacquiao numbers anymore that we were used to seeing every year at one point in time. But still, like you mentioned, Tank does still draw good numbers even by himself, even against guys that you and I maybe complain about him facing. He still does decent numbers with his pay-per-view numbers, or, you know, drawing the crowd as well.
Yeah, I think you look at Wilder Fury, the second fight, did 800,000, somewhere around that range, which is underperformed from what they wanted, but that was still a split pay-per-view. And Wilder had like a 20 million minimum or purse, and Fury's was up there too. Like, Tank and Ryan Garcia, we just talked about the type of money that Ryan Garcia's, they're not pulling in, they're not asking for 20 million a fight. So even if it does 800,000, which I think it could top out at maybe a million if Floyd and Oscar get involved and they really, really push it, then you're talking about a $1 million, a 1 million home pay-per-view, which we haven't seen since Triple G and Golovkin, a sold out arena, merchandise. That's enough money to split it up. And, you know, you talk about, we want to see Ryan Garcia pushed. Could you make a case that I want to see Tank Davis in there with someone of his equal, because it's not Rolly. He's better than Isaac Cruz. He's better than Leo Santa Cruz. His best win is arguably Pedraza, and that came, what, 5 years ago? So I think it's time for Tank. I think it's time for Ryan. This fight makes sense for so many reasons. Oh, yeah, but I think boxing fans are like programmed where they're just like, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen, but I think it should.
And yeah, it's sad. It's sad that we have fans like that, but sadly, at times it's the sad truth.
It's the sad truth.
I mean, fight fans have grown accustomed to, you know, looking for the big fights, and something always happens when you wake up the next morning and you go to your social media and you see something about a fallout, or they go in separate ways, and it's always something bad waking up to it when it comes to boxing. So I can understand that, but yeah, I believe that there's enough. If all parties involved really want this fight to really happen, as they say, I believe they can get it done, and they can be reasonable about doing it as well.
Right. I hear about belts. There's no belt on the line, so that's a problem. This is not a fight for belts. This is a fight for money. It's a prize fight. Yeah. You know, like, look at Tank. He's never mentioned to fight Kambosos. He was never mentioned now to fight Haney. He could have easily found a way to fight those guys. He's in it for money. Leonard Ellerbe will tell you the same exact thing. Same could be said for Ryan Garcia. He's turned down mandatory fights. He's turned down interim belts. You know, they're not, I wouldn't say they're not interested in being world champions, but they haven't really made it like their focus. It hasn't been like,
that's what I mean. I can't get mad at Ryan Garcia whenever you said that belts don't matter, because if you're paying a kid $2 million to fight anybody, I'd probably be the same way. Oh, I don't need to fight for a world title. I could pass on mandatories, because if I'm still gonna get seven-figure paydays and I could handpick my opponents myself on my own time, you know that's a win right there. If you have that thought process, you're winning. Yeah.
Did you see anything though from Garcia in this fight that would give Tank problems? I never actually asked you where you stand on what happened in the ring.
Because he's tall and rangy. He's tall and rangy. So if he and Ryan can box, you know, like I said, he does have a good amateur pedigree behind him, so he can box. If anything, where his flaws, and everyone always says it, is that it's his defense. He has holes in his defense still, and he doesn't move his head. And with Tank, I mean, even when you're on the aggressive, he's dangerous. I mean, look what happened to Rolly's the last fight. Rolly's just pressing forward and got caught, in the middle of throwing punches. So just imagine, you know, timing will be speed, and Ryan does have speed. But if you catch Ryan at the perfect moment, like how Tank, you know, and Tank has the experience to do so, it could be ugly on that end.
I love the fight. I mean, just hearing you say that too, it's just perfect matchup. I mean, yeah. The counterpunching of Tank, the power of Tank. Ryan Garcia is a plotter. I mean, that's what he is. We've seen enough of his fights now. He just comes forward and he leaves his head high. I mean, he got stung a few times. Fortuna wasn't able to land a lot, but when he did, there were counter shots up top over, you know, trying to land that Luke Campbell overhand right that knocked down Garcia. So there were a little flaw. I thought it was an A minus performance from Garcia, but stopped from being an A plus was, you know, did get tagged a few times, does have his chin up high. That's just who he is at this point, but he does have something you can't teach. Just the speed. And that left hook might be one of the best punches in boxing right now.
Yeah, and I called it. And for the match, I said, knowing Fortuna's his style in terms of him when he does get aggressive and him jumping in forward, he's going to get hit with a check hook.
There you go. That's how it happened. I saw JoJo Diaz after the fight, and he was not impressed with Fortuna's performance. I said, hey, you took it out of Fortuna. I mean, that's why he didn't look so great.
Right. It happens.
Right. And I asked him, what'd you think about Ryan's performance? It was okay. I mean, that's honestly, if I was a betting man, as badly as we all want to see Tank and Ryan Garcia next, I mean, Ryan Garcia, JoJo Diaz is just right there. They're both under a Golden Boy banner. They can fight in December.
It's easier the two to make, plain and simple. And they're both in the same, like you said, they're both on the same side of the street. They're both right there. They actually have a history in terms of, back and forth, issues between the two of them. So,
right.
And then let's be honest, Dan. In most promoters today, they actually look for the fights to be made in house first before they start going out to go find get their guy or get their fight. So, the minute I hate to say it, but I feel as the minute any bit of the negotiation goes south, then they're going to just quickly say, you know what, and jump right back to let's just get the fight. They're not even going to try to iron it out. Nope, we're just going to. And just go with JoJo.
Yeah, I think it will be, they'll both fight in December, November, December. Tank, maybe Cruz. That's the thing. It's like Tank doesn't have like that in-house option. I know they can cook someone up. PBC always is able to find someone that could fight Tank. And just like our point with Ryan Garcia, Tank is getting, he's going to get several million to fight anyone. He's going to sell out pretty much any arena because when people, they go to Tank fights as if it's an event. I mean, it's a great recipe. I'm not going to knock it. I'm not going to knock Leonard Elbe or Mayweather because I think any promoter would sign up for the game plan that they have. Finding an opponent that's beatable, selling out an arena, and doing it twice a year. But we talked about this till we're blue in the face. Like, it's got to the point where Tank, like, the fan, it's getting to the point where he has to fight someone like a big name, like the top guys, Ryan Garcia, Haney, Lomachenko, whoever it may be. Like, it has to come soon. So that's the case.
That's the crazy part, though, Dan. After watching Ryan's fight, it's just we live in a crazy time where Devin Haney was in the building, and it's like they just didn't even acknowledge. And this is the man who's the lineal undisputed world back. You could even say 10 years ago, any top challenger would have been jumping at the chance to fight the undisputed world champion and get all the belts at once. But nowadays, it's all about, well, how much can they draw? How much can I make?
Yeah.
And if I can make more by taking less risk, I'll go that route.
A fighter. I mean, you guys put up with ridiculous training schedule, ridiculous sacrifices, taking literal punishment in the ring. So can you knock like a Tank? Can you knock a guy that wants to make the most amount of money?
In terms of his lifestyle, well-being, and if you're living comfortably and well, I'd say go for it. But I just pointed out like it's just how different the times are.
Right.
Back then, the belts actually brought the money. Now today it's all about, hey, if you have a good name, you're a draw.
Yeah.
That's enough right there. And that's basically what Ryan Garcia is. He just, you know, he has a name. He's
polarizing.
He's a draw.
Yep.
He's making more than world champions now.
A Ryan Garcia fight and Tank fight is one of the three biggest fights in boxing. It's the one that can maybe reach a million. Haney and Tank, great fight. I mean, it'd be awesome to see that, but it's not selling. It's not put up the same type of numbers that a Ryan and Tank fight. I mean, that just is what it is. I mean, me and you know the boxing landscape enough. Tim Bradley said something that was really interesting after the fight. on Saturday during the State of the Game show on ESPN that he believes that Ryan Garcia has a higher upside than Teofimo Lopez. I was like, wow, that really made me think. What are your thoughts on that? Who do you think has the higher upside?
I think probably because it's no secret. We all know what Teofimo's been going through in and out of the ring. So I'm pretty sure, you know, that played a lot to where he's coming from. And on the last line, let's not forget, this is the boxing world. The minute you lose that, it seems like that aura, you know, vanishes for the time being until you come back and do something drastically different in your career. But, I mean, right now, you probably could say so because, again, Ryan does have a lot of marketing behind him. Like, I mean, he has a totally different base outside of boxing. So in terms of, you know, just being more of a face, you know, out there in terms of boxing, maybe so, but I still say that Teofimo is probably the more, you know, skillful, has more tools, you know, in his back. But I can understand where Tim is coming from as well.
I love Tim. Just saying that right there makes you think. That's why he's like the Charles Barkley of boxing. I always tell him.
Yeah, he really is.
But I say you're the Charles Barkley of boxing, but you want a title, and he likes that one. But yeah, I agree with you that, you know, I think Teofimo is the more skilled fighter, no doubt, has more accomplishments. But if you're going for upside, it's like maybe Ryan Garcia has a better team in place. You know, his dad was willing to step back and allow him to train with a Reynoso or allow him to train with a Joe Goosen. Is that still involved? Where on the other end, you know, Teofimo Sr., I haven't seen any difference, any change in their attitude, any change in their behavior from the loss to Kambosos.
That's going to be where that can actually – and I love Junior, but that's what Tim probably could look at as Teofimo basically being stagnant or crippled because, you know, he hasn't had a chance to be – they'd probably be placed in a different trainer's hands at least right now. Whereas, like you pointed out, with Ryan's situation, his father, you know, let him put trust into other trainers to where – you know, Ryan has shown improvement to spots as he has when he first turned pro. But I mean, again, I feel like it's one of those things when once you take that loss, that people start asking if you're still serious or you still have it at times.
Well,
too.
It's how you take the loss. You know, it's how you look in the loss. It's how you act afterwards, your mindset. And did you catch the interview with Teofimo and Carino?
Well, when you put it that way, it wasn't – Tio's my guy, but it wasn't the greatest outlook after that loss, especially with the moments within the ring. People had a sour face about how he carried himself and – pretty much that was a bit of the signs of where his mentality state was at right then and there also in the middle of the ring after his last fight, but who knows?
Yeah. He said some things in that interview, like, I still thought I won, you know,
referee said I won. You see, lift my hand up. And
I know, but like, there's two ways to look at it. I ask you the fighter. I ask you, like, I've seen two sides of this. Guys that will fight a loss, you know, till they die. You know, they have that mentality where, no, I never love that, blah, blah, blah. Or this guy accepting a loss, learn from it, and makes you put it behind you. Where do you stand in there, you know, as a guy that has reached the pinnacle and also has lost?
I'm the second guy. I'm the second guy. I didn't do what I had to do tonight. If anything, I won't be so hard on myself, but I have to look at the fight again and take it as a lesson more than a loss. But that's just me. We all see it in boxing. The minute you get on, even because the first thing these fighters do today is go on social media. So the minute you go on social media with the Twitter fingers and the excuses, you lose all credibility. No matter if it was a close fight or a good fight or not, you lose all credibility in that fight because people feel as, you know, you're just making this, you're a sore sport, you're making excuses.
You don't want to see that. You don't want to see excuses. Like, Kambosos talked a big game before he fought Haney. I mean, the mind games, what did he say? The mental warfare, whatever he said before that. And after he lost, he gave Haney his respect and we'll do it again. You know, hasn't made an excuse. And okay, that's fine. It's boxing. And you're right. Like, this stupid notion that you have to have this, as bad as we think we're like being far removed from the Mayweather era where everything is about there's still a stigma around losing a fight like that. But I believe it's how you handle the loss.
Yeah.
And I think Teofimo, honestly, I love the kid. I've was one of the first to interview him when he burst onto the scene. Consider him a friend. Haven't heard from him in a while because it goes up beyond just me interviewing him. I consider him a friend. And to see that interview, to see where his mindset's at, it's a little troubling. We'll see, because he fights in 2 weeks, you know, much of a tune-up fight. But, you know, like at 140, it's a wide open at 140 for Teofimo. Take a look at some of the belts that are coming off of the waist of Josh Taylor. You take a look around at the rest of the division. It's pretty open. They got guys like Jose Ramirez who are, you know, talking about going to 147. You got Jose Cepeda, who's been around for a while. Regis Progre, who can't seem to find a big fight. There are big names and there are winnable fights for Teofimo. So if he can get back to the right mindset, if he can get back to stabilizing his personal life, you know, he could be a guy that could just get back to the top, right?
Right. Yeah, of course. Like I said, 140 at one point in time, it was like how 135 is right now. It was just one man had all the belts. And he, even then, even now, so matter of fact, even now, so 140 is still at least stacked with a lot of good contenders, at least, you know, trying to get an opportunity shot. But I believe, like you said, Teofimo, he still has a good team behind him. Like you pointed out, this is pretty much more so of a tune-up just to get the rest off, see how he looks. But once all he needs is that one good win because he's already high enough in the rankings anyway where people are complaining how high he is in the rankings. So, you know, one good win, and I'm pretty sure before the year is over, he'll be looking at a title shot.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's positioned really well. I mean, got ESPN behind him, has a huge name. You know, I'm pretty sure his new deal has him fighting in a pay-per-view fight. So he has a spectacular knockout, and it won't be long before he's in there with maybe a Josh Taylor or whoever comes out of that. Probably more in line with Jose Ramirez Zepeda fight that's supposed to be happening. I could see that. I could see him going after that one. But it's all about what's above the shoulders with Teofimo. I hope that he finds it because he's a great kid. And he's a damn good fighter. Another name, he's at 130 right now, but he's going to be at 135 soon, in my opinion. I think he's going to be the pound-for-pound best in the world, Shakur Stevenson. He just had his press conference this past week.
I know that guy.
Happen to know him pretty well. You guys shared a ring. You shared some barbs. He's now your buddy. We know
this. I just spoke with him, too. I just spoke with him, like, I think the day before yesterday, I texted him when he was going on his Twitter rant.
Wait, so which one? Because you have to. He goes.
No,
on
I think it was with my man IBF.
Oh, the guy across who just beat a
guy. My guy Joe
Cordina.
My guy Joe. I said, man, just focus on Concierge right now, man. But now me and him we have a good relationship now. Like I'm talking about, I'll be there. We'll be there in Newark for his next fight. But
yeah, I'm going to go to that because I think it's a really good card. I just tweeted it out today. I mean,
You know what's good about it, though? Honestly, Dan, it's not so much of the fight. It's the fact, like they pointed out yesterday, the future. You get to see it's the talent on the card that I'm looking at. Like, you know what? All these kids that were at the press conference yesterday, they all have the potential to be world champions in their own right.
So no, they will. That's what I tweeted today. It's like you have a chance. If you want to go to Newark, it's probably good. It's going to be priced well. You get a chance to see Shakur Stevenson, who's already arrived. You get a chance to see Keyshawn Davis, who's going to be a future champ, and Bruce Carrington. There's a lot of other guys.
John Tucker, you know, so on. And Floyd Diaz. It's a really talented card. I'm pretty sure Top Rank will, you know, match them up to where the fights are entertaining as well. So that's definitely a good card to actually, you know, witness.
Yeah, but with Shakur, here's a guy that I think could rule over everyone at be pound for pound number one. He's in line to have huge fights with a Lomachenko or a Haney. Whoever the dust may settle, you know, once he eventually moves up to 135, and you know, he can see, like, you know, he's got a homecoming fight, you know, he's a main event now, he's got two world titles, but the run that he has been on, you know, starting with your guys' fight, fighting Valdez, now fighting Conceição, who arguably beat Valdez. Throw in the fact that he's had some good wins over Joe Gonzalez, over Pitbull Diaz. This guy's building a pretty historic beginning to his career, Shakur Stevenson.
Agreed. Yeah, his resume is for his age and where he's at in his career is actually pretty stacked. It's solid, and it's only going to get better because I know Shakur and I know that he wants the harder fights, the bigger fights, the fights that people think that he'll actually have some issues in. So you know he wants the Lomachenkos, he wants to fight Tank Davis, you know he even wants to you know if it's you know, presented to him, he'll even fight Devin Haney. So these are conversations that I actually have with him. So I know where his mindset is at. And like you pointed out, this kid could be one. He could be pound number one someday. But like I said, as long as he continues just to keep showcasing his talent, you know, night in, night out, he'll be on his way.
Right, the precision, not so much the power. I know he does have sneaky power. It's the precision, the defense, obviously.
It's the timing. Like I was telling Tim the other day in the fighting meeting, I said, look, this kid, like, Shakur, it's not because he beat me, but I was there. Like, you know, I'm in front of him, but it's like he's not in front of me. Like, I couldn't get to him. Like, I had the longer reach and the height, and it's just hard. But it's because, like you point out, it's his precision. His eye coordination is great. His timing. Mm-hmm. I think his timing beats everything. He may not be the fastest or the strongest, but with timing, you could just do so many things.
Would you favor him over any of the guys we just listed?
Yeah. Even against big punchers, because again, you got to touch him. So if you can't hit him, what's the use of being a big puncher? And, you know, if you can't hit this kid. And the thing with Shakur is you may hit him, you may get one off, but he always makes the adjustments to where he makes it a lot harder for you to get that same punch up again.
Yeah, I would love to see him fight Lomachenko. Would love to see him fight Devin Haney. Love to see him fight Tank Davis.
I think I'm more interested in that fight because just more of the technique and tools that Lomachenko can present, you know, because I believe Lomachenko is a smart fighter in his own right, so he'll make those adjustments, but Shakur is like, he's so good that like he can take the best, you know, the best fighters out there and frustrate them. I mean, you seen him in the last fight with Valdez. Valdez was very frustrated in that fight. And Valdez is a great champion in his own right. So I think it's gonna have to take a smart mind to really give Shakur a real challenge.
I think Haney and Shakur are gonna be angling for Lomachenko. I think Lomachenko, you know, obviously 34 years old, hasn't fought in a while, obviously, you know, in the Ukraine and trying to figure stuff out there. But he's still a big name. He's still the prize piece for Topper. He still signifies a big time win if you could pull that off. So I think it's between Haney and Stevenson for that. Maybe Haney has the inside track considering he's at 135 already.
And I believe it's Haney. It's not saying that because Devin is the easier of the two. I believe it's because, like you pointed out, he's 34 years old now. He's old. He's been chased. It seems like I know he's probably frustrated. It seems like everyone around him is getting that undisputed, you know, marker under the name, and he's been chasing that forever. I mean, ever since he moved up to 135 pounds, he's been chasing to get all the belts. So I believe that with the time, with the clock ticking, I believe that he'll choose the the one that rewards at least the most. Right. Fighting Shakur right now, it's just a handful of problems, and it's not so much. It may be a good paycheck, but I know I don't think that Lomachenko ever came out as a fighter that's always hunting for the money. He's more for legacy,
for sure. Well, think about Haney's fighting Kambosos again, whether we like it or not, October 15th. So you can probably, we're not going to see Haney in there until springtime next year. So if we're going to see Shakur now, if he wants to stay and unify or become undisputed at 130 now with Cordina coming up, there's a lot of shifting going on.
I think Shakur is going to actually try. After I spoke to him, I asked him what he wanted to do, because I was like, listen, you have the WBO title. You know, that's a bargaining chip. When you move up, that's automatic.
Right, with their rules.
When you look at it because of their rules. But he did explain that he probably wants to stick around and collect more titles at 130. So why see the same thing that you just mentioned. He's probably looking at, you know, Devin and Lomachenko are tied up anyway. So yeah, I might as well create my own path and go my own way and do as much damage as I can at super featherweight before moving up to lightweight.
And this Cordina fight just pretty much fell into his lap, because before the Cordina knocked out Ogawa, it wasn't really like a big fight out there. You know, nothing that Bob would want to make, you know, like there's no one in this division. Like he wants him to move up. So, but when Cordina knocked out Ogawa, he put him on the map. That's international flair now. That's a big fight that they could potentially build up. So I agree there. Shakur's got to get past Conceição too. Conceição's very tricky. It's funny that they're looking at this as like some type of tune-up fight coming off of his fights with you and Valdez.
The homecoming fight. Hey.
Like, come on, Conceição's legit.
The kid is that good. This is why I think that there's nothing against Canseco. You know, he deserved another opportunity after the whole thing with Valdez.
Yeah.
But the issue with him is, if you really look at it, he fights at one speed. He fights at one speed. He'll throw a lot of punches, he'll throw a lot of punches hard, mm-hmm. but it's all one speed. And I know Shakur will pick up on that, and that's when you start seeing him, you know, being a more of a surgeon and just, you know, just piecing them up, cutting them up in there afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. This weekend fights over on Showtime, Barclays Center. Danny Garcia is back against Jose Benavidez. That is a crossroads fight because
can you say a crossroads fight?
It is. I mean, it's a cross. It depends on what they really want to do because Jose Benavidez, right, I would say, is a part-time boxer. Obviously, injuries and whatnot. Hasn't really been in there a lot. Haven't seen much of him. Same can be said for Danny Garcia. Obviously, a great career, a career that most fighters would dream of. You know, world titles, big fights, big stages, but has not been in the win column in a while. Has not fought in 18 months. I want to ask you this: you're a fighter in your last fight, and when you're in a training camp, you know you were coming towards the end of the career. You've had same thing as Danny Garcia, reached the pinnacle, won a world title. Did retirement creep into your mind during training camp? And do you think the same is going on for Danny Garcia?
Absolutely. At least for me. I don't know how Danny might be thinking, but I watch a lot of Danny does, especially on social media. It seems like he's more enjoying the benefits that boxing has brought to him. You know, he's out there he's doing really good for some property, traveling.
Great,
you know,
family guy too.
Yeah, he's living his life. So. But when you get like that, because like I said, boxing is a poor man's sport. But when you start living comfortably, it's like after a while, it's like you start saying, I really don't need this. I really don't need, like you mentioned, I don't need these. I'm constantly going through 8-week training camps, bad, you know, bumps and bruises, early mornings. And it's like, if I don't have to do this anymore, you know, if that doesn't work out, then I'm perfectly fine with that. And that's the real situation where I was at myself. That's why, like, I was explaining to somebody that sometimes with certain fighters, you know, they want to walk away, but they're forced, you know, they're forced to fight because of whatever, you know, financial situations or whatever they may be going through. But in terms of Danny Garcia, I don't think he doesn't need boxing anymore. So it's more, I think it, for him, it's more, okay, let me just see if I can win a world title in a new division just to add on to my great resume. And we'll see from there. But if it doesn't happen, I'm pretty sure Danny can easily say, hey, you know what? I did what I did. You know what?
Goodbye. Yeah. I mean, he wants to win a world title in the third division. But damn, bro, 154? There are savages in that weight class.
Yeah.
Charlo.
It's another division where all the titles are tied up. One
right. I mean, Charlo and Tim Zhu are fighting in January.
And there's a line. Unless Charlo, let's say, goes out his next fight, you know, beats Zhu, and he'll have to basically, you know, let all the titles go in order for Danny. Because like I said, Danny's not a young spring chicken either.
Wow.
So if he's want to go for that run, he has to do it now. But he still has a line to wait in.
Yeah. Not to mention like Spence Crawford, eventually going to be at 154. Sebastian Fundora. I mean, who the heck wants to fight that guy? There's other names like Charles Conwell, 150. I mean, 154 is loaded with talent. So I don't exactly know what the end game is for Danny Garcia. Great guy. He's given a lot to the sport. He's made a lot of money, but it's still going to be a fun fight, I think. It's a crossroad. Right. Benavidez can crack. I think it will be an exciting fight. It's a pretty decent card. Adam Konacki's on it. Gary Antoine Russell, who is a stud. I think he, at 140, can give anyone fits, too. He is really, really good, too. You have anything to say about Gary Antoine Russell?
No, I mean, the whole Russell, first and foremost, I know it's been a while, but condolences to their father. Yep. I know Big G, you know, come up in the amateurs, but again, I know that whole entire family. That family is a breed full of fighters. Yep. And some may say that he may be one of the most talented out of all the current fighters of the family fighting now, to be honest, at 140. So
that's saying a lot too.
I just think, you know what it is. But also, we just want to see more. We just want to see more because now we're so used to being in an era where if you're good or if your promoter and your backing says you're good, you're constantly being forced into, you know, our faces where we're reminded of you at least, and we know you're out there. But with Gary, he's like that fighter where, you know, he'll fight and then you won't hear from him again until it's time to fight again. And so I would just like to leave, if he's going to be that type, I'd just like to see more of him and for him to stay busy and him to where he started at least getting those bigger fights where his fists do all the talking. So what do we want to work? Well, what's Gary doing? Well, we know he's fighting this guy at least because, you know, this guy is an elite fighter. So I'd like to see him, you know, stepping up in competition because he is good. But it's just different these days in terms of fighters when you mention them.
Yeah, I wonder if the Antoine Russell, the younger one, will look at and try to, like, not follow. He obviously wants to follow in the footsteps of his brother, who is a world champion, one of the longest tenured world champions. But the once-a-year thing, it was like, yeah, Gary Russell's a great fighter. Well, he only fights once a year. It became like a punchline. I'm sure Gary Antoine Russell wants to change that.
And the thing is, with those fights, it wasn't that once a year of where the fight that we wanted to see. It was more the once a year because he has a mandatory in the line and you have to fight him unless he wants to get stripped.
Right.
So even that once a year, it wasn't like an event. It was just a fight. And it's not taking anything away from Gary's skill. Gary's, you know, incredibly skillful, but at the same time, because we weren't getting the fights that we wanted to see, like the Santa Cruz fight that's long overdue, that really
don't want to see
anymore. It's getting far gone. But those big names that we want to see him in with,
always
something that came up that while we couldn't get it. So after a while, people got frustrated. So of course, you don't want to see his brother, who's not a world champion, who hasn't made his own name yet, you know, fall into the same category.
Gary Russell versus Tank Davis, I'm calling it right now.
I don't know. How you have to give it to Tank Davis, easy.
But I can just see, like, PBC is not afraid to come up with these, like,
these
matchups that you never would think of.
I mean, you're right. But, after Gary's last fight, it was interesting just the thought of it before Gary's last fight. But after the last fight, it's like, no.
Yeah, hurting his shoulder.
I think the once-a-year thing now is catching up to that ring rust is hurting you.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully it's not Abner Maris. I don't want to see Abner Maris. Like, he's coming back. I don't know exactly why. He's got the eye problems and hasn't been in the ring in a while. And he's got a pretty good thing going on with Showtime. But that's a rumor that we've heard too, is Tank versus Abner Maris. It's tough to walk away, right? I mean, have you officially retired? I know it was that.
Trust me, I'm not listening to that. I miss it. But like at the same time, like, again, I'm not making any excuses, but like my body from all, like, over 20 years of this sport, like, it's like, after a while, I was like, okay, my body isn't reacting the same. If I can't hold my arms to my shoulders are constantly throbbing to protect myself, why would I want to continue putting myself through that? I was even thinking about, you know, maybe now finally going to see surgery, because for me, when I won the title, it was considered late in my career. Right. So I couldn't afford to take time off to go get those soldiers and shoulder injuries and everything.
Had to earn
surgery. So I was like, listen, if I take time off, I might lose the best years of my career.
Yeah,
so
wow.
I just dealt with it. So that's one reason why to answer your question about, you know, fighters ever want to come back. Yeah, sure, I would love to continue to fight, but if I know that I can't be at my best, then why would I continue to put myself through there? But some fighters, they just love it. I mean, Abner might feel. I mean, he said I'm 36, but I feel like I'm 26 now.
Yeah,
of course, you're supposed to say that, but maybe, he just misses it. I think once a fighter, always a fighter. So I feel that it doesn't matter how old. I mean, look at Evander Holyfield. Look how long it took.
We don't want to see that, though.
Yeah, fans don't want to see that. But that just fighters, that ties mentality.
You had a hell of a career. Like, I if you decide to lace him up again, I would obviously watch, but. You know, you got a great broadcasting career. I mean, that moment after the fight, I mean, it was pretty, it was tough to watch, but it was also like kind of beautiful in a way. It's like you were able to like see the praise coming in from the fans and all over Twitter. And, it was a little awkward at first but afterwards, did you know that question was coming from Kriegel? I feel like you were caught a little off guard.
No, I kind of sensed it within the room. During the fighting meeting, like, what was next? I mean, some even said that I should have just walked away after the Shakur fight. But for me, because Shakur is a special talent, I figured that, you know, that could happen to anybody. I mean, we've seen it happen to Oscar. Like, you know, Shakur is going to just dominate, period. So I'm just like, I took it as, okay, it was just Shakur. Even to this day, I don't lose any sleep for losing to Shakur Stevenson. But as a fighter, I was like, okay, let me see if I still have it at least. Okay, let me just regroup and do that. But it just when I was in there, in the beginning, I felt strong. But as the rounds went by, and usually I'm the fighter that's always fresh and just pushing. I don't feel right. Sometimes it just doesn't feel right. And after that, I was like, listen, I'm I walked over to Top Rank's matchmakers, Brad Goodman and Bruce, and I told him right there on the spot, hey, I appreciate you guys, but now I'm done. I had a good run. I did more than what anyone thought I could do anyway, but body just isn't feeling it.
You overachieved. I mean, you reached the pinnacle and you started late. You had a great career, started with PPC, go to Top Rank. Just beloved. I mean, and for just to, you know, you see like guys say, oh, I don't know if I want to keep going on, and they linger, but just to kind of see some like, you know, like an end on TV, that was great. And now you have this broadcasting career.
I really When you said that about Abner, I thought about myself. I was like, listen, I'm doing the same. Sean Porter, another one. I'm happy. I am totally fine if I could just sit out inside the ring and still enjoy the sport that I love from the outside and looking in. I'm fine with that. And I understand where Sean Porter and Abner may feel on that stance as well. But some fighters, they just missing it. I guess he needs that one last run to see if he still has something.
I feel a competitor. He's a competitor. All fighters are competitors, but. I mean, if it is the end, thanks for all the memories. And I know I told you on Twitter, but it's good to say it to your face. And now you're having the second part of your career, you know, working in broadcasting and love it. I mean, you have a lot of good insights. I mean, I think you could do a podcast.
And Christina's she's a great mentor. Christina Poncho is a great
mentor. The best.
She's one of the best. I believe that she does her job just as great as anyone out there in the field. So I have to give thanks to her because she's always – he's always, you know, giving me tips and points to do it. And it's just fun. So I enjoy it.
That's awesome, man. I love talking boxing with Jamel Herring, one of the best in the biz. Thanks a lot, man. We got to do this again soon.
Anytime, Darren.